had to do with our Savior, the Son of God. And continuing that this month, our theme is on God. And so all of these hymns that are posted on the board have to do with our Heavenly Father. I encourage you to turn to these songs, be ready to sing them at a moment's notice. They're in order as we go through these tonight. Come with me to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms 149. Psalm 149. Psalm 149, verse 1. The Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints." God is worthy of our praise. He's our Creator. He made every provision for the salvation of man's souls that we could be saved and go to heaven and be with Him for all eternity when this life is over. When you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 15, the Bible says, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Just like today, as we gather together to worship God in spirit and in truth, and with our lips we offer thanksgiving unto God through these hymns that we sing, God is worthy. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory," watch this, "and praise of God." Let's sing together, "Hallelujah, praise Jehovah."
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah.
times would the Bible have to declare that God exists before you believe it? Just one time, right? To the world, that's not enough. To many in the world today, they deny the existence of God in spite of the Scriptures that over and over and over attest to the fact that God is real, that He exists, that from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In Psalm 14:1, the Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart. Could you finish the rest of that? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In Romans 1, verse 20, the Bible says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. What's this next phrase? So that they are without excuse. There is no excuse in not believing God. The Bible attests to it. We believe it. Let's sing together about it. There is a God. Just saying that from dust God created man. The Bible attests to that. We know many passages that talk about the fact that God has created all things, like Genesis 1:26 and 27, where God made man in His image. their image. Let us make man in our image. Genesis 2:7, and the list just goes on, where the Bible talks about the fact that God created. I like the passage in Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2, when the Bible says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. In other words, as far as you can go that way, as far as you can go that way, Thou art God. In Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 16, when Paul was writing to the church of Christ at Colossae, he said, For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And then in the book of Psalms, Psalm 24, the Bible says, The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein, without a shadow of a doubt. This is our Father's world. Let's sing together about it.
127. Right. This is my Father.
Think about God being worthy of praise and the fact that He exists, the fact that this world and the fullness thereof belong to our Father. The Bible also numerous times talks about the love of God. I'm thankful for God's love. I don't hesitate at all from this pulpit and others. I will readily admit that I deserve not the grace and mercy of God. I don't deserve that. If we go to heaven for all eternity, it will certainly not be because we deserve it, but because by God's grace through faith, we can be saved. Ephesians 2 and in verse 8. In the book of 1 John, which talks so much about love, about loving one another, about love for God and so forth, it's recorded in 1 John 4, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Now watch these next four words. For God is love. And in verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and in verse 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And there's a lot of ways in which God's love has been manifest toward man. We need to recognize the love of God, read about it, and encourage one another as we together we sing about the love of God.
6:36.
If the love of God is shed, righteous blessings on my head.
Oh,
Are you thankful for the love of God? I am. We just sing about it. Hopefully we're all convinced about God's love. One of the ways in which God's love is manifest is through the greatest giving known to man, and that is the sending of His Son. Most of you could quote John 3:16. I don't doubt that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8, that God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, come to that passage with me, that chapter. But God, we read just a moment ago, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says that Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You know, without the resurrection, we could not be saved. That's what Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 21, he says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." He says, "It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." How does it save? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have hope. Paul discusses that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Remember when there were some that were denying a bodily resurrection? And Paul lists some very logical conclusions. If there be no resurrection, if Christ did not raise from the dead, then our preaching is vain, your faith is vain, you're still in your sins. We are of all men most miserable if in this life only we have hope. But glory be to God that because He lives, we can live for all eternity if we're faithful unto Him. Let's sing together about it.
God sent His Son.
Chapter 4 talks about our great high priest. Talks about the fact that seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That means he knows what it's like to dwell in a fleshly body. And he talks about, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It motivates me when I think about the fact that tomorrow is easier to bear when God has already been there. He's not limited by time like we are. He already knows what's on the morrow. So I like that song, because He lives. I'm thankful, as we talked about in the sermon this morning about God being our Father, that we can be in the family of God. God has extended that invitation, you know, to how many people? To whosoever will. Right? Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and whosoever will, he talks about, that is a thirst, let him come and take of the water of life freely. All men. John 3:16, we talked about that. The world, that means all that dwell in the world. God loved them and sent His Son. And so I'm thankful for that. In 1 John 3:1, we mentioned this morning, behold what love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we could be called the sons of God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, and in verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I ask you tonight, are you in the family of God? If you've obeyed the gospel of Christ, you are. In John chapter 3, and in verse 3, Jesus answered to, remember this conversation with Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That puzzled Nicodemus. How is it that a man can be born again? Can he enter in his mother's womb and be born a second time? Well, that wasn't the type of birth the Lord was talking about. He says in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so the Lord said that an individual must be born again. And so a logical question to ask with that is, how is an individual born again? Well, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And in verse 15, he says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, now watch this, I have begotten, remember all those phrases, so-and-so begat, it means they gave birth to that, from them. From them proceed and so forth. Begotten. I have begotten you through, how? Through the gospel. The way an individual is born again is when they obey the gospel of Christ. And Peter talked about that. Of course, all these writers of the Bible are doing so by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, he says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again. How? Being born again, not of corruptible seed. So we're not talking about a physical birth. In other words, the Lord in John 3. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Thanks be to God for the fact that we can obey the gospel of Christ and be in His family and anticipate the day when we can all be together for all eternity in the joys of heaven with our Father who created us. Let's sing about God's family.
43. Same verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
We're part of the land.
Sending His Son into the world and shedding His blood on the cross so that we can have the forgiveness for our sins. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, we sang about. We just sang about God's family. You know, along with being in any family, whether it's our physical family or in the spiritual family of God, along with that comes responsibilities. Responsibilities to one another. Responsibilities to God as we seek to serve Him and to do the things that He would have us to do while on this earth. And the Bible talks about those responsibilities. In Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I mentioned to you in the sermon this morning, Luke chapter 9, verse 62, "And no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." And in the book of Mark, verse 34, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." In all things, we need to make sure that we're doing all things by the authority of Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and then verse 17, that God comes first in our lives. There is no other that ought to occupy that number one spot but our Heavenly Father. Let's sing together about "Seek Ye First," a beautiful hymn with a beautiful meaning.
Seek
ye first the kingdom of God.
There's a lot of things in this life that cause heartaches. We've all shed tears over aches and sorrows and trials and tribulations that come upon us and bad things that happen in this life. And our world is just filled with so much bad news. You turn on the evening news and it's just filled with so many things that just causes your heart to break for people. So many individuals who are innocent of being gunned down and slaughtered and no reason at all for that type of behavior. But I tell you, it's because people do not serve God. It's because people do not serve God and are not spiritually minded, don't care about one another. And that makes me so thankful for God's people, that we can come out from among the world and come to a building like this on the first day of the week and Wednesday and other occasions and be around those who are of like precious faith. But I tell you, there's a time coming when there's going to be no more sorrows, when there's going to be no more pain, when there's going to be no more tears. In Revelation 21:4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, we read about a lot of weeping people in the Bible. Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet. But we read about individuals who shed tears for various situations. We read about parents, particularly a father who shed tears because of his child. Mark 9 and in verse 24 talks about that. Paul shed tears for his brothers and sisters in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. In Acts chapter 20, when he's talking to the elders of the Church of Christ at Ephesus, he said that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. When's the last time we've shed tears because of our brothers and sisters in Christ? Our concern, our love, our worry, and Jesus shed tears. Someone says, "Preacher, where do you read about Jesus shedding tears?" Well, come with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And notice verse 7. Who in the days of His flesh... Let's go back to verse 5 and get the context of it better. So also Christ glorified not Himself to be made a high priest, but He that said unto Him, Thou art My Son, today have I begotten Thee. As He saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard, and that He feared, though He were a son. He's talking about our Lord. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. I anticipate the time when there'll be no more tears. It's another beautiful hymn. Let's lift up our voices, blend our voices together unto God.
When we reach that home and lay our burdens down, God shall wipe away all tears. When we join the saints and wear a rolling crown, God shall wipe away all tears. God
You anticipate that day? I do too. Well, we've sang all evening about our Heavenly Father. You can't help but to think about God's creation, about God, about God's love, about God's blessings, all those spiritual blessings that the Bible talks about in Ephesians 1:3, all the physical blessings that Christ talked about in Ephesians or Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, and all the things we've talked about, the family of God and the love of God, all of those things. You can't help but to sing about those things, to read about those things, and not see the goodness of God. Over and over, we're reminded about God's goodness. Come with me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and notice verse 8 with me. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Do you believe God is good? I do. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Then again, I just mentioned to you a moment ago, Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I'm so thankful that God is so good.
God is so good.
You'll not leave the building tonight without offering words of encouragement and appreciation for each of these song leaders. Every single one of them has done a good job. We have one more song to go, and I don't doubt a bit that he's going to do a good job too. Always does. Need to encourage them. Lift up their hands and encourage them to keep doing the good work that they're doing. I tell you, the theme of Jesus, the theme of God, and we'll look at some other themes, Lord willing, as we continue doing a sermon and song the last Sunday evening of each month, Lord willing. God is calling. The Scriptures talk about God calling. Now think about Luke chapter 15, right? We're getting ready to sing an invitation hymn. God is calling the prodigal. Remember what's recorded in Luke 15, 11 through 32? The wayward son, prodigal son, went out and by riotous living wasted his substance, so forth. But he came to himself. He realized his condition. He said, I'll go home and I'll ask my father. I'm not worthy to be called thy son anymore. Make me as one of the hired servants. What a welcoming he got when he came home. When the father saw him, fell on, kissed his neck, put a robe upon him and so forth. Rejoice with him. Come with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. No man can come to me Except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Right? Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. The Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him. And so when someone asks the question, well, how does the Father draw us? Well, he just talked about the fact that the drawing of God incorporates being taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. God draws us as we hear and we learn of the truth of the gospel and we obey the words contained in this sacred volume of God. Paul also talked about that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's writing to these Christians. And he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, whereunto he called you, how? How did God call him? Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now come back over to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You realize that your obedience to the gospel of Christ, or your coming home, if you have obeyed and you bless the Father and you want to be restored, affects heaven itself. That's what that verse says. And in verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. God is calling. Here it is. Will you heed the call? Maybe you're here tonight, never have obeyed the gospel of Christ, but you want to do that tonight, and you're asking the question, how do I do that? What must I do to be saved? Well, by doing what they did in the Bible to be saved, by hearing the gospel, believing Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing Him before men, that you believe He's the Son of God, and being baptized, buried with Christ, immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, to rise to walk, a new creature in Christ. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away, turned your back on the Lord, and you want to be restored. You can do that by repenting of those sins, making confession of them. We'll pray with you and for you. Come right now.
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay.
is great.